Welcome to my super secret podcast. I started this show for the purpose of having a platform where I can say and discuss whatever I want. I have another podcast, but after receiving pushback from relatives about some of the content, I figured the only way to get around this was to have a secret podcast that they didn't know about. I don't know if this is a good idea, but I guess I'll find out. I'm James, your secret host. This show is going to be about news, tech, a little entertainment, and anything else I feel like talking about. I'm open to suggestions, so feel free to email me at mysupersecretpodcast@gmail.com. Come join me on this journey, and together we will see where this all goes. What's going on? Supposedly, phase one of reopening is happening today, which is Wednesday, in the area which I live. It seems a lot of people got a head start on this over the holiday weekend. Traffic was heavy, almost to a pre-pandemic level. I witnessed large gatherings of people not wearing any sort of PPE and definitely not abiding by social distancing guidelines. Boy racers were out in force with their obnoxiously loud rice grinder-powered funny-as-in-stupid-looking cars. They were racing up and down my block late into the evening. Ah, the sounds of summer. I'm no Karen, and I think it should be up to the individual whether or not to follow these guidelines, but if a second wave of this virus hits hard, I don't want to hear the blame game that's being heard at this moment on social media. Myself, I'm eager to get back to some normalcy, but being the cautious type, will take steps to protect my family and myself. How's it going in your area? Cool tech. Well, this week it has got to be SpaceX. Even though the launch was scrubbed today due to weather and will hopefully take place on Saturday, it still will be a historic milestone. That's because it will be the first launch with a human payload for a private company. This will usher in a new era of space exploration and puts us one step closer to reaching Mars. All this will be achieved at less than half the cost that a government-run mission would have cost. The government really doesn't have to answer to shareholders, though technically we are the shareholders, so there is virtually no pressure to come in on time and keep costs down. Elon Musk of Tesla has accomplished this. While previous rockets would jettison their boosters into the ocean, never to be seen again, SpaceX's Falcon rocket's boosters come back to Earth, ready to be reused. The Dragon capsule basically flies itself and is equipped with touchscreens and resembles the interior of a Tesla car. Instead of a small ship-style porthole, the capsule has a full windscreen, again, like a car. The future is actually starting to look like many people had envisioned it to look back in the 1960s. Exciting stuff. I'll be watching Saturday. Will you? What I'm watching. I stumbled upon a show that seems to be popular but flew under my radar until now. It's called Altered Carbon and it's on Netflix. The plot is similar to a show on Amazon Prime called Upload that I've talked about previously. Both shows are set in the future where humans have figured out how to transfer their consciousness into a computer. If you have the money, that is, but that's where the similarities end. While Upload is dark comedy, Altered Carbon is a dark, literally and figuratively, look at the subject. Altered Carbon is very well produced and acted. The episodes are about 1 hour long versus the 30 minutes of Upload. I binge-watched all 10 episodes of Season 1 of Altered Carbon over the course of one day. It was that good. It does get slow during some episodes, but the rest of the show makes up for it. I'm starting Season 2 this week. What I'm listening to. A podcast I just started listening to is called Timcast IRL. The show is available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Tim Pool is the host, and he's a young guy that used to work for Vice Media before that company's shift in reporting style. Politics, media, and entertainment subjects are discussed along with other subjects. The host reminds me of an early Joe Rogan, minus the marijuana smoking and celebrity guests. This podcast also has a YouTube channel if you'd prefer that method of consumption. War Story. When I first got to the Philippines, I quickly learned some tricks from the old hands. One of the lessons I learned was that you don't change U.S. dollars to Philippine pesos at the bank. You'd get a much better rate by using the so-called money changers downtown. As soon as you exited the main gate of Clark Air Base, besides being confronted by every imaginable con artist and hustler, you had a row of women with small folding tables that would change money for you. Over time, you'd develop a favorite, and you usually went to the same one all the time. Alongside these women, there was usually a rough-looking Filipino guy who acted as security. I mean, they were dealing in money, so that makes sense. Usually, the only problem that occurred was sometimes these money changers, either unknowingly or knowingly, and I lean towards the latter, would slip in some counterfeit notes. To prevent being ripped off like this, before you left the money changer, you counted the pesos in front of her, checking that the amount was right and there were no counterfeit bills. The fake pesos were easy to spot because they were low grade, probably made using computer printers that were not even close to the quality of modern day ones. If the count was off or a counterfeit note was detected, you told the money changer and she would correct the discrepancy on the spot. Once you walked away, there was nothing you can do. You'd been had, nothing personal, just business. One evening, I was standing on the line of my usual money changer, an older, overweight, bespectacled Filipina I preferred because I had yet to catch her being low in the count or trying to pass counterfeit notes. The line was long that night, and she seemed to be taking her sweet time. She kept interrupting transactions with frequent talks to her security guy. One older GI on the line, and by older I mean mid-30s, got angry and yelled, "This is bullshit, I'm going somewhere else." Hearing this, the money changer's security guy pulled out a butterfly knife and stabbed the GI multiple times. As he lay on the ground and before local and military police could respond, the money changer and her security guy packed up and left the scene. After about 20 minutes, the military police finally showed up and had an ambulance take the GI to the base hospital. The local police showed up sometime later and, along with the military police, conducted an investigation and talked to witnesses. 3 days later, the poor guy died and a lot of pressure was put on the local authorities to make an arrest. An arrest was made weeks later, but the murderer was released to the custody of his lawyer and was never heard from again. This angered me, and I shared my opinion while at work. This Filipino guy had killed an American service member for nothing more than the GI expressing his feelings and trying to switch lines, and had gotten away with it. Later on, a Filipino worker talked to me in private. He told me how the so-called justice system worked in the Philippines, at least at that time. It might be better, but I doubt it. The murderer was probably a lover or relative of the money changer, and she paid off the cops and the judge so he would be released. The way to get justice was to pay someone to kill the murderer, the Filipino guy told me. I asked, how much would something like that cost? And he told me about $500. I thought about it for a second and decided I didn't want to go down that road. The money changer must have given up her prime real estate and set up shop somewhere else because I never saw her again. Conspiracy theory. Okay, kids, put on your tinfoil hats and gather around because it's time for a conspiracy tale. With this current pandemic and the hysteria swirling around it, everyone is looking for a vaccine and an effective treatment for this virus. Early in this crisis, if you can remember back that far, a few stories came out about people who were on the verge of death but were brought back by a combination of vitamin zinc, Z-Pak, and an old medicine named hydroxychloroquine. The medicine is usually prescribed for treatment of lupus disease, which attacks the immune system. The drug was developed about 60 years ago and was used for the prevention of malaria, which it still is. Millions of Africans take it, and I was given the medicine by the U.S. military when deploying to locations where the malaria rate was deemed high. The combination of this medicine and the zinc-based Z-Pak gave many hope that an effective treatment for this virus had been found. Then President Trump tweeted about it and mentioned it during one of his briefings. Almost immediately, the mainstream media were running stories about problems with this drug. The first bunch of stories claimed that the use of this drug caused mental problems. Well, if that's true, why aren't the lupus sufferers or the Africans who take the drug most of their lives not complaining of this? Well, upon further research, it turns out that the main mental disorder was weird lucid dreams. So it was back to the drawing board for MSM. Next came a wave of reports of people dying when treated with this medicine. Well, that turned out to be true, but it was because the people were already intubated and at this point close to death already. People who actually think for themselves are now asking if the ventilators that were so desperately needed at the beginning of this mess were the cause of most of the deaths, but that's another story. That narrative hasn't stuck either. Now the new narrative is that the drug causes heart damage, so the World Health Organization has suspended the trial of hydroxychloroquine, prompting France to order its physicians to stop using the drug as a treatment for the coronavirus. The press is all over this, gleefully pointing out that Trump was wrong all along, blah, blah, blah. This suspension, while providing one more reason for the non-stop Trump bashing festival the media has been on for the past 3 years plus, there are some who believe that a more sinister reason is behind this campaign to discredit the drug, namely Big Pharma. Hydroxychloroquine has been around so long that the patents on it have expired so it can be made generically, meaning that anyone can manufacture it, which in turn creates competition, thus bringing the price down. 100 doses of the drug cost around $35. Now, compare this with the mainstream media pushing the drug Remdesivir. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. If not, oh well. It was originally developed for Ebola by the pharmaceutical manufacturing giant Gilead, who have a history of pricing drugs through the stratosphere. Remember a few years ago, the cure for hepatitis C? They were charging about $84,000 for that. Well, the rumored price for a treatment with Remdesivir is between $5,000 and $10,000. Now, that's a lot compared to the cost of hydroxychloroquine and quite the markup from the estimated $9.50 it costs to manufacture the drug. I realize that the company needs to make back its research and development costs, but I think volume sales should be enough to cover that if a reasonable price point is charged. But money and profit makes even the most reasonable people greedy, and I'm afraid that's what's going to happen here. Remember the sayings, money is the root of all evil, and follow the money? Well, those are common sayings for a reason. Well, the music's playing, so that means it's time to get up and get out of here. I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. If you have any suggestions or criticisms, you can contact me at mysupersecretpodcast@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you. If you get bored, listen to my other podcast, OFNT, Old Fart, New Tech. And remember, don't tell anybody about this. Let's keep this our secret. See you next week, guys. Take care, and thanks for listening.